Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
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 You are tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these skyways and airways on tonight, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all is well in your family circle. I hope and I pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah. And so we're going to take this opportunity, this stage, this podium, to send out condolences to those of you that might have lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, the last 8 hours, 2 hours ago, even moments ago. And we want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement. Hallelujah. We want you to know that you have sisters and brothers, prayer warriors, all around this planet that are praying 24/7. Hallelujah for you and you and you. And you are not alone in your hour of bereavement. Hallelujah. And we want God to just touch you and bring about healing and restoration for your soul. Hallelujah. And so now we're going to change our program. We're going to now go into our intro prayer. Every time that we come across these airways, we fail not to acknowledge our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming Messiah. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And so God said, in all that you do, acknowledge me, and I shall direct your path. So right now, I'm asking those of you that are out there in my live digital audience to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father God, we come with a grateful heart, God. Hallelujah, Jesus, of your sovereignty and your love, unmeasured God. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity, God, once again around the spectrum. Father God, we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on, God, it's not our eternal destination. We know that you have lying in waiting, God, a mansion that's not built by mortal man, God. But you are the architect. You are the developer. You are the creator. Hallelujah, Jesus. And until you crack those clouds one of these old historical days, God, we will continue in your will. We will continue in your way, with our hand held firmly to the plow, God, and to never ever to look back. Father God, we were going to continue to walk in your way, God, to do as you would have us to do on this mission, God. And Father God, we will continue to mount up, God, from the four corners of this earth, God. Starting from the north, south, east, and west. As pilgrims traveling through this barren land, God. I'm asking you on tonight, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to someone that may, then again, may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words, hallelujah, of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every one of your children, God, that are near and far, that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. Father God, we won't take your praise, we won't take your glory, but we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty marvelous name. And we'll let the temple say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I just thank those of you that so graciously continue to tune in with the Old Ship of Zion. And may God richly bless you, you, and you. Hallelujah. May your cup runneth over, God. May God just open up the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you would not have room enough to receive. You would have to give away something that you already have in order to make room for your blessing. And I just thank you so kindly, so graciously, for tuning in, my brother and my sister. And I want you to just get close to your radio dial on tonight. I want you to just get all your digital devices, get your laptop, get your tablet, get your iPhone, and get all your digital devices, I call them our toys, and bring them aboard on tonight. For we are in need of them. Hallelujah. And so we're going to now go on in to a service that's already in progression. Hallelujah. And our sermon on tonight entitled, What is Your Faith Level? On a scale 1 to 5, 5 being the greatest. I want to say that one more time. Our theme on tonight, what's your faith level? On a scale 1 to 5, 5 being the greatest. Hallelujah. And we're going to read our first key scripture on tonight. And it reads this. Allow me to put on my specs. Hallelujah. All right. It says that most men will proclaim each his own goodness. But who can find a faithful man? Proverbs 20:6. All right. We're going to go on down to our second key scripture. And it reads like this. Faith by faith. Abraham obeyed when he was called, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That scripture reading, my sister and my brother, coming out of the law, Hebrews 11:8. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. So we are talking about faith. Hallelujah. And we'll go back and we'll read that first key scripture one more time. And it says that most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find the faithful man? That scripture reading again is coming out of the law, Proverbs 20:6. And you know, we often are disappointed by the unfaithfulness of people. May it be a family member who promised to write, but much goes by without a letter. A pastor say he will visit when we are sick, but he doesn't make it to the hospital or our home. A friend agrees, hallelujah, to be there for us in our bereavement, but doesn't even call. Hallelujah. Others tell us they will pay for us. I'm sorry, will pray for us, but quickly forget our need. Someone promised to do an important task for you and I, but never follow through. Hallelujah. We asked ourselves, who can find a faithful man? And we're taking that out of the law of Proverbs 20:6. We can do very little about the unfaithfulness of others, but we can do a lot about our faithfulness. We can do a lot about our faithfulness to others. When we make a promise, we must keep it. When we tell someone we will pray for them, we need to follow through and do it. When we proclaim our loyalty and our love for others, we can do little things that show them we mean it. The Apostle Paul said that one fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Galatians 5:22. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. And reading from the Apostle Paul. And he said that God will create in you and I. If we take seriously what we tell others, we will do for them. And if we follow through, we can, you and I and us, we can ask God to make you and I a person whom others can count on, a person who is tried and is true. And you know, that's what we look like having problems in our today's society with, is people of God, even people that know God, but having a time trusting God, stepping out on God's word. Because we know that God's word has been tried and it can be trusted. But I tell you, we just going about our daily duties and our itineraries, and we're not trusting God. See, God is a holy divinity. He's a holy God. He's a spirit, though, but he is holy. We know that he came down here in the form of a man, but he went back to his Father up in heaven. Hallelujah. He's sitting, the Bible says, on the right hand of his Father. So we know that God said in his word, he said, I am not a man, a spiritual man, that I should lie, nor am I a son of man that I should repent. So with that being said, we know that God is a God that he don't change. We change because we change our mind. We change our hair color. We change our clothes, our attire. We change our jewelry. We change our attitude on who we're going to like today, who we're going to like in the next hour, who we're going to like next week. But we call ourselves saved and sanctified, and we're filled with the Spirit. Some of them don't want to say the Holy Ghost, so they'll say the Spirit. So Spirit, Holy Ghost is all the same thing. But if you cannot love your brother and your sister whom you have seen, how in the world can you love God whom you have not seen? So we know that, you know, we have to love one another if we're going to say that we are sons and daughters of Christ. If not, then we are lying to ourselves. And we are deceiving others as well. But anyway, I'm going to keep on going because I have quite a bit to cover on tonight. So I got to keep it moving. Hallelujah. And we know that, hallelujah, one of the greatest obstacles, hallelujah, that we face in following Christ is fear of the unknown. We yearn to know in advance the outcome of our obedience and where he is taking you and I. Yet we are given only the assurance that he is with us and that he is in charge. And I call him the CNC. That means Christ in charge. And with that, we venture into the unknown with him. We go and we can talk about Abraham being the model man, the response of a person who is willing to walk with God into an uncertain future. We know by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And that scripture reading again is coming out of Hebrews 11 and 8. And we know that Abraham knew that God had called him and had given him a promise that was enough. He was willing to entrust his future to the Lord. And so that's what you and I is going to have to do. If you're not doing that, I want to encourage you to stop doubting God and start trusting God. You will always keep yourself in a, I'll say, in a dish, in a box because of your unbelief. We cannot get much out of God if we can't trust him. We got to learn to trust God when we cannot trace him. Because God said, it's going to come a time when you will look for me and I will not be nowhere to be found. So that means that we're going to have to trust God when we cannot trace God, when we cannot find God. We're going to have to take him at his word. And one way is to trust God and to know that God is a God of his word, is to know what God has done in your life. Can't nobody tell it like you can tell it. What God has done in your life and through your family life. You have family members in your circle that God has blessed. God has touched and healed their bodies from a sickness and a deadly disease, incurable disease. God has healed their body and raised them up, and they are yet able to tell the testimonial of how God has healed their body. When the doctor has given them up, said, this is all that I can do, and I cannot do anymore. So you just go home and die. But they had trust and belief in God. And if you don't know anything else, you can go into the miracles working power of God and just read about all the miracles that God has performed in his life while he was here on planet Earth. God, when he showed up, God showed up healing all manner of sickness and diseases. God never turned anyone away, may it be male or female, may it be young or old. God never turned a deaf ear to anyone, and God will not turn a deaf to you on tonight. All you got to do is trust him. When you can't trust your mother, you can trust God. When you can't trust your husband, you can trust God. When you can't trust your wife, you can trust God. When you can't trust your son or daughter, you can trust God. When you can't trust your business partner, you can trust God. When you can't trust your lawyer, you can trust God. When you can't trust your insurance salesman, you can trust God. You can trust God at his word. His word has never failed. His word has never come back and returned void. But it go to accomplish what he has sent it out to accomplish. And you and I may do the same by trusting our Lord for the future and the stepping out in faith as we stand on the threshold of a new year. This is the new year that we're in. Trust God. I don't care what come or may go. You got to trust God. Don't be a doubting Thomas, but trust God and take him at his word. May your prayer and faith and your anticipation be yours. And just pray a prayer of faith and say, oh Lord God, who has called us, your servants, to venture of which we cannot see the ending, path as yet untrodden and through perilous unknown, give you and I and us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hands is leading us and your love is supporting us. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God is such a good God. I tell you, it's just nobody like our God. There's nobody who can do what God can do for us. And God loves us. God wants the very best for you and I. I mean, God wants the very best for us. And I tell you, all we got to do, God said, whatever that you ask in my name and believe it, that you shall have it. Hallelujah, Jesus. God is an awesome God. We know that God will show up and God will show out. He'll show up and he will show out. Because God is just that good. Woo! God is just that good. Oh, I love him because he first loved me. I tell you, God is all right with me. And if it's any problems or any error, it's not with God, but it is with me. It is with me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Oh, we thank you on tonight, God. I want you to open up some hearts, God, out there in my digital listening audience. Open up some hearts of some faith believers, God, that will believe in your word, God. Take your word and apply it in their everyday lives, God. Oh, Lord, we need you to touch your people on tonight. We know that one thing that we can say about the Apostle Paul is that he was not a man to miss words. Hallelujah. We know that it didn't matter who he was or who it was, whether it a judge or ruler or his fellow apostles, Peter, but we know that Paul said that what had to be said in the law of Galatians 2 and 16. He made the same point three times. He said, no one is justified by the works of the law, but the law was a critical issue in the early church because many of the converts were Jews. Although they believed in Jesus, some of them just would not let go of their legalistic ways. I imagine hearing them say that a person can't be saved unless he is circumcised and refused to eat meat and offer to idols. And no Jewish believer should ever eat with the Gentiles. But Paul told them, in no uncertain terms, that they were wrong. Being made right with God come by faith. Not by any requirements of church or individual ad. As the author of confusion, Satan finds all kind of ways to corrupt the gospel by giving us the impression that faith is not enough. He plays into our desires to be in control and to do something to save ourselves. Adding anything from tithing, clothing, style, entertainment, and choices. Each of these is important to the believer, but none is essential to salvation. We know that the point is, salvation is by faith. Hallelujah. And I want to ask you, what if we didn't have faith in God, but accepted instead the God-denying theory of evolution. Suppose we had an atheist view of life. We're told that in the eyes of one individual that declared that he was having a debate. And he said that if you're a consistent individual, you realize that there is no life after death, no ultimate foundation for ethics or ultimate meanings for our existence. We wouldn't have no free will. Life would be empty. Instead of a bleak unbelief, we can open our hearts and our minds to have faith in God as he has revealed himself through his son, Jesus Christ. You and I have forgiveness of our sins through his death on the cross. This is not only assures you and I of a blessed eternity, but also fills our here and now experience with measureless blessings of meaning and hope. You and I know by the indwelling Holy Spirit that Jesus' word in the law of John 8 and 12 are true. He said that I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And as you and I, as we move along on our earthly pilgrimage, we don't need to stumble into darkness of unbelief. Instead, you and I can walk confident in the light toward an eternity unending blessedness. That is the difference faith in Jesus Christ makes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we're going to talk on faith a little bit. I know my time is getting on away, but I'm going to see if I can maybe stretch it just a little bit, because I know that I need just a little bit more time, and I'm going to see if I can do just that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So that's what we're talking about. Our theme is, what is your faith level on a scale 1 to 5? 5 being the greatest. I want to ask you that are out there in my digital live audience on tonight, what are your faith levels on a scale from 1 to 5? Are your faith a 1? Are your faith a 2? Are your faith a 3, 4? Or do you have the ultimate faith in God and you will not waver in your faith? That's what we're talking about. Because we need faith in order to move God in our lives. We need God to perform miracles for us. We need faith. We don't need doubt. When you need a bill paid, you need God to assist you in getting that bill paid. And so you want to be able to go to God in prayer. Father God, I have this bill, you know, that need to be paid. I mean, right away, it's an urgent matter. And Father, if you do this for me, then you tell God, if God do that for you, what you going to do for God? Because it's like a trade-off, because nothing from nothing leaves nothing. But if you tell God, God, if you do this for me, then I'm going to, in return, do something for you. And I'll tell you from experience, God will come through. God will work it out. I'm telling you, God is a God, hallelujah, that can do anything for one exception. And that brother and my sister is fail. We fall, because the Bible says that we've already fallen short of the glory and honor of God. But God have never failed, and he never will. So we're going to talk right now about faith and having a grasshopper mentality, I would say. Hallelujah. All right, now we're going to talk about in this grasshopper mentality, how Moses, a report given to Moses by the spies that he sent to investigate the land that God had promised his people. And so it said that the majority report was depressing, and it was dark, it was negative, and it was faithless, because in these men's eyes, their only hope was in their own ability. And see, that's what we fall into, is our own ability to do something. We don't want to call on God. We'd rather call on Tyrone. We'd rather call up Miss Jones, Mr. Jones, and say, you know, Miss Jones, you know, I need a loan. I want to know if I can get a loan from you, you know. To God, we'd rather go to outsiders. We tell God, well, God, I don't want to bother you. I know you have other people that you need to see, but I don't want to bother you. But I want to let you know something on tonight. You are never a bother to God. God loves you unconditionally. And there is nothing that God will not withhold from them that love him. He said, there is no good thing that I will withhold from them that love me. So God wants you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prosper. But let me get back, hallelujah, to my passage here. So like I said, they could only see themselves as grasshoppers among so great a people. And so that's what we see God as, a God that won't do anything. A great big almighty God owns everything. He owns all the banks, all the loan institutions. He owns all the gold. He owns all the money on Wall Street, in Dow Jones. God owns all the jewelry stores, all the service stations, all the car lots, all the homes that's on the market. God owns everything. So don't get it twisted. The people might try to, you know, say that this is theirs, but it all belonged to God. And God just so graciously allowed us usage of the home, the car, money, and all. But God owns it all. So you are not intruding on God when you ask God for something. He loved for you to come and to be of need where he can bless you and I. So like I said, admirably, the fact that they reported were true. The people who lived there were powerful. The city was fortified and very large. Giants were in the land. The people were of great size. It was a land that devoured its inhabitants. But these 10 men had a grasshopper mentality, a mentality that produced fear. And when you don't have faith, the next thing you have is fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of believing. Fear of stepping out on God's word. Doubt and anger, anxiety, and bitterness, deception, low self-esteem. And such a mentality caused them to forget the promise of God. They forgot the covenant that he had made with Israel to be their God. And they forgot the great and wondrous work. See, people fail to realize the wondrous work that God has already done in yours and mine and our life. God has already healed someone in your family, in your circle of friends. May it be your son or your daughter, your niece or nephew, your grandparents, your uncle, your aunt, somebody that you love dearly and that's dearly to your heart. God has already healed somebody. God has already opened a financial door for somebody. God has already raised a financial window for somebody. God has already let out the floodgates of heaven for somebody. You don't believe. The Bible says, ye of little faith. Hallelujah. And that's what these men had, a grasshopper mentality. Hallelujah. And they forgot all about what God, the wondrous work God had already done in their lives. However, the minority report that Joshua and Caleb in the law of Numbers 14 and 7 through 9 was also true. They said, we are well able to overcome. The land is exceedingly good land. And they said that if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. I want to ask, how many times have you and I and us, hallelujah, as children of God, become so preoccupied with our struggles and our cares that we have allowed fear and doubt and anxiety to cause us to forget the wondrous work and power of God with that grasshopper mentality? We see things as they appear and we walk by sight, hallelujah, but if we walk by faith, we will see that the Lord is with you and I and us. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If the reading is coming out of 2 Timothy 1 and 7. What a wonderful hope for the believer. I'll tell you, there is nothing that God will not do for you, my sister and my brother. All God wants you to do is step out on God's word. Don't be a doubt, Miss Thomas. Don't be a doubting Mr. Thomas, but step out on God's word. We know that faith pleased God, yet all too often doubt creeps in to cast a shadow over yours and mine and our faith. It can also happen at any time. No one is immune to it. We know that God can turn the shadow of doubt into faith, as he did with Thomas. We are told that Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John had all examined the empty tomb on resurrection morning. Surprisingly, none of them associated the disappearance of the body of Jesus with the fulfillment of his prophecy about himself, a prophecy that they had heard repeatedly. But when Jesus later showed his pierced and broken body to a room full of startled followers, each one believed that he was alive. Thomas was the only disciple absent when Jesus appeared. He refused to accept the testimony of his friends. When Jesus appeared to the disciples again, he singled out Thomas and challenged him. Jesus even went so far as to let Thomas touch the wounds of his hands and his side. When the doubtful man saw the living proof, he declared that Jesus was his Lord and God. What a radical change. Hallelujah. From persistent doubt to unwavering faith, Thomas had a need to examine and experience the truth before proclaiming it. But Jesus recognized that Thomas needed for proof and honored it as well. He went out of his way to prove to Thomas that he was the risen Lord. Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But he said this, he made it clear that he honors even more those who believe without proof. For as he said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed too are those who receive and accept the gospel of Jesus Christ through the testimonial of committed believers. Our gracious Savior can provide the truth and also the proof and the faith that erases all doubt. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name, God. And like I said, scripture on tonight has been, what's your faith level on a scale 1 to 5, and 5 being the greatest? I want to encourage you on tonight. If you got 1, your faith is at level 1, want you to try to move it up to level 2. Each day, we got 5 days in a week. We're not counting on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, but we're counting Monday through Friday. You got 5 days. And each day, if you grow one level in faith each day for 5 days, you will reach your ultimate level. And that's the level we're talking about. From a level 1 to 5, and 5 being the greatest. Trust God when you cannot trace him. And if you don't know anything else, you know God is calling a lot of people home. He's pulling a lot of cue cards. And it behooves you to not be a doubting Thomas. May it be Miss Doubting Thomas or Mr. Doubting Thomas. Because you need to know that you're covered in anchored rim of God before leaving earth. And God, he left us what we call a Bible. It's spelled B-I-B-L-E. And we're told that the B stands for biblical. I stands for instructions. The next B said before. The L mean leaving. The E mean earth. Biblical instructions before leaving. So that means that you and I must have faith in God, that we know where we stand in God. You got to know that you're anchored, in the blood of the Lamb. You got to know that you're saved. You got to know that you're sanctified and you're filled with this precious Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. You got to know that without any doubt in your mind. You got to know. Because see, demons will come up to you and they'll tell you that you're not saved. They'll tell you you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. But you got to tell that demon and all his little imps that you are saved. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that you are saved. You have been free from sin. We know that we was dirty when we was in the world. We was in the grime and the grits of the dirt. But when God came into our lives, God took his cleansing power, clean all the miry, muckery clay and grime and dirt off of you and I, and cleaned us up. He said that sin had left a crimson stain. But Jesus has washed you and I and us white as snow. So all you got to do is keep on living for God. Don't let nobody tell you who you are and who you not. You know who you are. You got to know who you are and whom you are. You got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You got to know where you stand. Hallelujah. Our sermon on tonight has been, what's your faith level? On a scale 1 to 5, 5 being the greatest. Our key scripture has been the law of Proverbs 20:6. And our second key scripture has been Hebrews 11:8. And you can write that down for your own edification. We're going to end it right now, and we're going to turn you over into the hymns of Zion. That is to uplift your spirit and infuse your mind. So I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and to uplift your heart, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions you'd want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been brought to you by Block Talk Radio. This program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondent, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1500, Gilroy, California 95020. Our web address is www.janicewardministries.org. I want you to go in God and allow God to go in you. Allow him to erase all doubt and replace it with faith and confidence in God. We're going to now turn you over to Hymns of Zion. We want you to buckle up with Jesus at the wheel, for he is people friendly. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up now, Hymns of Zion. Bye for now.
Right, you'll be when I try, keep me, baby. Turn rest I need, and by His blood I've been redeemed.
La 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 la
You, as I sing this song.
live for you. I bled for you. I died for you. And I rose for you. I'm coming again for you. Because I love you. Now I'm asking you.
down in this land. Like no one loves you and no one cares. There's a melody from heaven that'll set you free. Just look up to the Father. Say, rain down on me, family. Just look up to the Father. Say, rain down on me.